Greetings, this is James Dillon broadcasting live from the East City Ranch and the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. We've got quite a few speakers here sitting at our green square table that you don't know it's not round, so we're going to call it a round table. Seeing radio, we can get away with it. So anyway, we're having an awesome event here. The speakers have all just been phenomenal. We're getting incredible footage of orbs and light spheres, and ships have been coming in and powering up and pretty much turning everybody's reality upside down. So it's been quite an interesting event. But anyway, before we get too far off, I'd like to find out some more information on some of the speakers here. And I guess maybe we'll start off with Michal, our distinguished guest, Michal Ledwith. Do you want to say a few words on As You Wish Talk Radio?
Well, James, it's good to be back with you here for the third conference this year and to meet so many distinguished speakers that I have read about and heard about and now can see them face to face. And I'm going to talk tomorrow about orbs. My orb movie is playing right now. And tomorrow I want to focus on how the understanding of orbs tells us a lot about the structure and the function of the universe and how we might participate in it to accomplish our heart's desires, because I think most of the self-improvement techniques that we have heard so much about, ranging from New Year resolutions to promises of one kind or another, or weight loss programs, or even manifesting reality as we try to convey in what to believe, etc., they all fail to a large degree, leaving people very disillusioned and disenchanted, because all of those efforts are conscious. Whereas what impacts the quantum field is not the conscious mind, but the superconscious. It processes about 400 million bytes of information per second as opposed to the conscious brain, our mind's ability to do about 2,000. Mm-hmm. So that'll be my topic tomorrow.
Oh, great. So we can straighten out our lives and
or make it more complicated.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, if you're not confused already, you'll be really confused.
Yeah,
right,
that's what lies here.
Yeah.
Is that the method to short circuit the rational mind by overloading it?
Right. No. Yeah, yeah. Add about 250 people to your front yard and life doesn't get complicated. But anyway, we've also had Michal Knight here doing his debut speaker, launching his Earth Change report and giving us a wonderful dissertation. Let's see if Michal has a few words about his experiences here at the ranch.
Thank you, James. Starting with experiences at the ranch, yes, I've been able to take some photographs with my little digital camera, seen a lot of orbs last night, and as a debut speaker, first time out in public on the subject of Earth Changes, the history to that is simply that I directed the film about James's life, Contact Has Begun, which has been a beautiful story. And well, thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Of applause.
That claps all the way.
Well, thank you so much.
It's a great story, great film. I loved it.
Yeah,
well, very well done.
Everybody needs to own one and have an extra so they can give
absolutely
it away.
Absolutely
correct. Actually, everybody should buy five. And
I do not love heresy in itself.
Well, I think everybody should be heretical.
Oh, really?
It's a big word, but it's easy to do.
And it's very hard to cure, too.
There should be more of it. But as a consequence of making the documentary, you can't go on forever making a documentary. I was very intrigued by James's references to Earth Changes. And as a journalist since 1960, I've done a lot of research in a lot of areas. And I chose to go out and start researching Earth Changes, and I began a newsletter called Earth Change Report. So my speech this weekend was about that subject. Mm-hmm. And the science that backs up what James has said is telling us some incredible things coming up in the near future. I think that'll do for my introduction of myself at this point.
Yeah, how did you get a hold of your newsletter?
Oh, my newsletter is on the internet, and it's on my website, which is contacthasbegun.com, but with the word B-U-Y, by contacthasbegun.com.
Okay.
A little bit of self-promotion there.
Not quite subliminal.
Not quite subliminal.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we've got also have William Henry that has decided to join us here after giving an awesome presentation.
Thank you.
That tied in spirit and science and archaeology and everything together. Amazing presentation. But do you have any words for the As You Wish listeners here?
Absolutely. Just really thrilled to be here. Wish everybody else could be here, too. And you got to put it on your list for next summer to come up. Fantastic speakers, wonderful environment. Can't beat it.
Yeah, great energy. Did you have a chance to get out in the field and see some of the activity out there?
I did. I missed the show.
Missed the big one.
I was here, and then some folks said, oh, it's like it's clearing up out back. Let's go out back. And
oh.
As we get around back, I hear all the applause and everybody screaming.
Yeah.
Like, there it was. So I'll be here another couple nights, I'm sure.
Okay,
see what I'm
coming tonight as well.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be great.
But thanks again for having me here, James.
Oh, it's awesome phenomenal. That you came. Awesome presentation.
Thank you.
But now, if people want to get a hold of your DVDs and your books, how would they?
My website is williamhenry.net.
Great. And definitely get those. They're a quantum leap in stepping out of social consciousness and into what's really happening on the planet. We also have Laura Lysak with the Kuan Yin Center in Hawaii here, and she's going to be speaking tomorrow. Not too late. Come to the conference. And hear Laura and both Michal both on Sunday. So you want to say a few words to the As You Wish listeners?
Oh, I'm really excited to be here. This is a fabulous gathering. It's an amazing experience to watch ships powering up over your head.
Oh, yeah.
I've never had that kind of experience before. It certainly changes your reality, most definitely.
Yeah.
What an exciting experience. And I'm really excited about the level of energy that's here and the people that have gathered and how much power is coming together between the extraterrestrials and all of the beautiful, enlightened people here.
Mm-hmm.
The power that we get to share and ignite together and connect with each other here. I'm very, very grateful.
And
I know you've been working very hard to do this, James, so thank you for this opportunity.
Oh, thank you. And you got some pretty good photos I saw out there. You got some wonderful
orb photos.
A lot of spirit photos and things. So.
Yeah. And then tomorrow we get to take this, all of this power that we've been playing with and really ignite it together with Kuan Yin and give it out to everyone in the planet to really share this experience with as many people as possible. So thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Good to be here. Thank you.
All right, I passed this talking stick phone over to Brooks Agnew.
Hi there. Brooks Agnew here. I gave my presentation on the physics of the soul and time travel on Friday night. It's always a pleasure to be here at the Science, Spirit, and Earth Transformation Conference in Trout Lake, Washington. Mount Adams is spectacular, and the stars are going to be amazing tonight.
And I know Brooks loves to have me put him on the spot about his little experience with the mountains. I think he made the old mistake of saying, beam me up, Scotty. And,
beam me up, Scotty. There's no intelligent life here.
They seem to oblige him. So
well,
you want to tell everybody about that experience?
I could just tell you, if you've never been to the ranch, as it's affectionately called, up here in Trout Lake, you need to make the trip up here, even if it's not conference time. Come up, rent a room, spend a couple days with the mountain, and understand what it is we go through up here. The experience of connection, that's really the most powerful word that I can use for it. It's almost like being visited by ETs or inner earth beings or mountain beings, whatever you want to call them. But the downloads are plentiful and common and powerful, and people leave here changed, as I did.
All right. You know that experience you had where you had your own experience with the UFOs, what I didn't get to add it, but at that time, the whole building was shaking. It was the most phenomenal thing because we were in the room next door, and I go, are we having an earthquake? I go, what's going on here? And the candles were jumping all over the place, and they're just moving all around. And then I said, you know, I don't think that's an earthquake. That's something else. So right at the exact time that you had your encounter, we had the whole building here with Jake.
I really didn't hear about that till the next day. I thought it was me. I thought it was, you know, my heart pounding or whatever it was, you know, during this meditation experience. But then the next day, even people that were out camping, you know, in the grounds were saying that there was a light pulse right around midnight that lasted for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's basically, you know, it connected with everyone in a different way.
Yeah. And I had some people here that are seers. They're very clairvoyant. And they said they often sit out here and they see a beam coming right from the middle of the mountain, right at the house here.
Mm-hmm.
And they see a conduit, like what you were talking
about.
Oh,
my gosh.
That opens
that
up.
That was the Regina and the Gregorio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people out here have seen that. And so I don't... Although I just kind of pre-programmed all the listeners, I don't really don't tell people about that so they can just have their own personal experiences. But it's pretty amazing. And I also have Hope and Randy Mead. We can pass the talking stick down. And they gave a wonderful presentation on orbs. Their movie, Orbs the Veil is Lifting. Go ahead. You want to say a few words on that?
Okay, in case you couldn't hear, James, we made the film Orbs, the Veil is Lifting, and like Brooke said, the veil seems to be lifting here a little sooner than maybe some other places. And
absolutely.
As I can tell.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to be here with all of you and to share in the mountain and to share in the festivities with all the people. Last night, the orbs were off the charts. There was music in the field, and everyone was getting swarms and swarms of orbs.
And music and an amazing device that I have to learn more about.
Yeah. Were you present when that big ship came over and powered up, by any chance?
Yeah, I was right here. I was one of the people going, power up, power up. So that's always nice. All right. When they oblige on cue. Yeah, right on cue. Power up, power up. Boom. Woo.
Yeah. Yeah. What was that experience like for you? Was it more than just visual? Or?
Oh, yeah. There's always a sense that that's about my fourth or fifth power up here. And there's always a sense of energy. I mean, I always just feel love when that happens, this flare-up. And, you know, originally, 5 or 6 years ago when I was here, part of me would go, okay, it's a satellite. It just veered and it blew up. Or, you know, my mind is just scrambling to find, be able to pin something on it. No longer, but, I mean, when I first started coming here. But, you know, last night it was great because I'm kind of used to it. And so I just sat there and felt the love and accepted it. It's really a beautiful connection that happens here a lot.
Oh, great. And I know everybody just loved the movie. So I can stick over here. We have a big table here, and it's a long ways away. But everybody just loved the presentation and the movie. If they want to go to your website and get more information, how do they do that?
Schoolfortranscendence.com.
Great. And they can get more information about the orbs and what you're up to.
That's right. Absolutely.
Speaking engagements and things like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like Brooke just said, everyone should come and experience being here. And if you feel like if you're a camper, there's also camping anywhere and everywhere. And the mountain just looms large everywhere you go.
Yeah, we've had the whole conference building filling up with orbs, too. So we're trying to figure out a way to charge them tickets, but they're just not cooperating. I mean, just because they don't have a body, they should still pay. We actually let orbs in free. Orbs and masters and some ETs. As long as they're the nice guy.
Are you seeing this cloud ship that's kind of forming on the left-hand side of the mountain?
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, amazing cloud.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we had a lot of people that are just had some amazing things. They talked about how they had their, one guy had a broken wrist and he had it healed out here and he came, you know, just to appease his sisters. And kind of amazing. He was very skeptical in the beginning and had a complete turnaround and he went and talked about his experience. But what's funny is he just came walking into the conference building just a few minutes ago, and he snapped the most beautiful shot of a ship right over the field here. So he got an amazing, I mean, it's undeniable. It's a nice, big, fat, metallic ship sitting there hovering right over the field here. So, you know, an amazing photo. But I'm sure those are going to come flying in, and I always tell people, come and have your own experience, take your own photo. That's what it's all about. It's not about somebody trying to prove something to anybody. or make somebody believe, you know, anything else. It's just an opportunity to share and for people to come up and have their own experience.
Well, James, I've always wanted to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that you think Mount Adams is such a central focal point for UFO activity in the United States? And why do you think, if they are ETs or if they are intraterrestrials, why are they communicating with us now?
I think it's, in a way, it's fulfilling a prophecy, and a Native American prophecy. And this area is really interesting because they call this area the New Eden. And they say it's the place after all the major changes where humanity will start over. And they also have a long, long history of taking their sick and their wounded up the mountain to a certain place, and then they would take them inside the mountain and be healed. So there's legends about a crystal city and these beings with light coming out of their eyes that they've contacted. And very benevolent, very service-oriented beings, very extremely advanced beings living there. But they lost contact when they said that humanity was just getting too aggressive and too primitive, and the technology was getting too far advanced, way beyond their spirituality, so they pretty much sealed it off and said, no more. We're going to kind of let humanity do its thing and work its stuff out, basically, you know, until we start learning to behave a little kinder to each other, and especially to them, because they're of an extremely high frequency, and it's hard for us to be around.
But what brought you to Trout Lake?
With me, it was a vision. I had the vision of the mountain and the river and the little mountain behind me. And I kept seeing it over and over again, and I knew I was supposed to build a bigger sanctuary. I had a place in Santa Cruz where I was teaching a lot of intersensitivity training classes and you know, channeling classes, all kinds of different classes there. And it was just too small. It was getting packed. And I kept having this vision that I was supposed to open up a bigger center, a bigger retreat center out in nature. And that's the missing link, that we had to add nature to the spiritual work and things like that and get grounded. And so this was the perfect opportunity to kind of connect it all together, you know, body, mind, and spirit.
That was actually one of the things that we brought out in the documentary.
Uh-huh.
The vision that James had of this place, and he got a map of America and he put a pendulum over it. He said his hand got hot over Trout Lake. And while I was doing the interview for the documentary, he said that he had a vision about a mountain, and there was a little mountain involved. So I went out to try and get the visuals for that, for the documentary. The little mountain turns out to be Little Mountain Road, where the sanctuary is located.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
That's just a coincidence.
Oh, yeah. What's even funnier is I threw the map away. After I doused it out, I threw the map away, and my brother offered me a job. He had an import shop here in Hood River, just right down the road here. And I just was following inner guidance, and I just felt really, you know, I need to do this. This is where I need to go. And I didn't know why. And I ended up inside this business, looking right up at this mountain off in the distance, going, you know, that looks a lot like the dream. And just all these other events that happened, just total synchronistic events came to this piece, and this land wasn't even for sale at the time. It was interesting. I found a realtor and told him, you know, I've had this vision. I said, you're probably going to think I'm crazy, but I'll explain to you exactly what I'm looking for. And he goes, I know what you're looking for. It's not for sale, but it might be. So he went and talked to the people here and ended up acquiring the land. It was amazing how it all came together.
Oh.
But I was really loving that. Looks like we have another guest that just showed up here, and this is Talk Cat from Talk Cat Radio. One of the VBS.
Yeah, Talk Cat, Psychic 101, refreshingly. We have
radio.
Shameless plug.
Yeah.
Never a dull moment, huh?
No.
Never a dull moment.
Do you want to tell somebody about some of the experiences you've had since you've been here?
Well, I've been shooting pictures of orbs, of course, like everyone else, and I shoot them at home in my own backyard, and they're beautiful. But the orbs here are huge. They're massive. They look like big, fat planets or something.
Uh-huh.
And then, of course, I got a glimpse of the of the, I guess you'd call it the light chip that powered up.
Oh, yeah, the
and
powered up over
did
here.
I ever do a double take? But I have to tell you that you don't have to have any kind of special, you know, abilities that are developed or anything when you're out here. It's really equal opportunity,
yeah.
You know, viewing.
Yeah.
And it is so refreshing because everybody sees it.
Uh-huh.
And there's a number of witnesses, so it makes it even more.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. I don't know how many, probably a couple hundred people out in the field, and big light ship comes over and powers up.
It
kind
of changes
fantastic. Your reality.
Unmistakable movement in the sky as well. You know,
oh,
it
yeah.
wasn't just a possible ship. It wasn't a satellite.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a plane. It was
oh, yeah.
an erratic movement, and it came forward, and you know, it's like on command, boom, right there.
Yeah.
Like a camera lens, you know, when you
yeah.
it,
oh, yeah.
you bring it in closer. It worked just like that.
Uh-huh. And then I noticed when as it came in, it kept getting brighter and brighter and bigger and bigger and bigger. And they just were going, everybody's going, powered up. We're all excited. We kind of thought that was going to be it. And then all of a sudden, this huge pulse came off it.
Uh-huh.
Just immense pulse. And I felt that go through my crown, right down my toes into the
it's
ground.
It
yeah,
picks
when
up.
It,
well, your whole territory up here is really something. Really cultivated, really mm-hmm. revved up, and... is just healing energy, too. You've had reports of healing.
Oh, yeah. A lot of spontaneous healings happen here.
It's amazing. I'm loving it. I'm having a great time.
All right. Well, I'm glad you're
yeah.
here, and hopefully we'll have another show tonight.
Yeah, light show.
Yeah.
Light show in the sky.
All right. Thanks for stopping in. Yeah, this is, we're having quite an amazing time here. Does anybody else want to throw some 2 cents in, or...
I'm just Mrs. Michelle Copeland with Nourish Your Soul TV, a brand new television program that'll be hitting the airwaves soon, and I'm going to be interviewing James here soon. And I just want to say this is my first conference, actually, and it's been amazing event, connecting with family and soul brothers and sisters. And then we have an opportunity on the planet right now to really live our dreams and to be a vehicle for that. It is a time and age of miracles, and just really it's just an honor. And As You Wish Radio is just pretty much the name of it, says it,
yeah.
You know, it's like what we're thinking about and what we're focusing on. We're living into that future, you know, as Jay-Z and, you know, Ramtha teaches us as well, you know. We have unlimited possibility. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That seems to be the standard unifying theme here. It's all about empowerment and creating your own reality and experiencing the multidimensional aspects of self and having a lot of fun doing it. That's the main
mm-hmm.
thing. It's just having fun in the process.
And out here you have an opportunity to connect with nature.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any studios in the world quite like this one. We're out in the open with Mount Adams just right there on the horizon.
Uh-huh.
It's a fabulous spot to be. Kat mentioned the orbs that she was photographing, some of them looking like they're as big as a planet.
Yeah.
And I was just wondering if this might be an opportunity for Michal to give us some information about orbs.
Well, obviously there are very many different types of orbs, but before we go into that, there's one thing I did want to say before I lose track of myself, Michal, so you remind me again. And that is, you know, even if people are not able to come here physically, you know, for distance or whatever, you know, James has a remarkable series of books that contains the knowledge that you've been given. And I think, as I said, when you honored me by asking me to write a little blurb, you know, it really doesn't matter what your opinion about extraterrestrials is, whether you believe it, disbelieve it or not. I mean, this knowledge is extremely profound and extremely empowering to all people. So maybe you might mention the names of those volumes and how they might get them, because I know a lot of people that I've shown the book to have been enormously impressed.
Oh, thank you.
If you can make the conference, you know, at least you can tap into
that.
The heart of the matter.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they can go to eceti.org, eceti.org, and get the Ultimate Soul Journey, which was just finished, and Becoming Gods and Reunion with Source. And there's a link on the website as well. One of the other things we have there is we have the DVDs from all these marvelous speakers here, which is just, the information is amazing. It was like everybody filled in the pieces, and we would give a lot of the similar information from a different angle, and it was just amazing. And each presentation that I went to, I got the aha, you know, the aha, that's where that ties in, that's mm-hmm. where this comes in. And it's just amazing, and I've seen people after seeing the different presentations, they're walking out and they just have this look on their face like, whoa, like what happened? Like, what did I just go through?
Well, the good thing is that they all came back.
Oh, yeah, right. And, you know, it's a life-changing experience for a lot of people, you know, seeing the ships here and the presenters, and it's just, to me, it's a dream come true. It's something I've always been working on for years to manifest. And thank you all for becoming my dream.
You're welcome. If you're, those listeners out there, if you're thinking about you really need a break, you need a retreat, you need something, I'm telling you, this is a sanctuary. You know, James Gillian's place is available. He welcomes all with loving hearts. And even if you can't come to the conference, you can still go to his website and you can contact him and have your own personal retreat with him.
Yeah, I have a question for Michal here, if you don't mind. Is that we've seen, we have some orb pictures here that we just recently got them. I'll share them with you. But one of the orbs, you look into it and you see columns, like ancient columns, and beings standing there, beautiful beings, and they're actually green. They're like a whole another world or another realm or something when you look into this. And one of the pictures I just took a couple of days ago is a beautiful blue orb with a woman on the inside of it. And she has a veil on and very chiseled, beautiful features of a woman. And I showed it and it just blew my mind when I saw it. So could you give us any information about that? Or
I think that orbs are able to, you know, manipulate the material out of which they are formed. Because orbs are not spheres, they're cones or vortexes.
Uh-huh.
That puzzled me for a long time as to why when you look at an orb or picture an orb in the camera, that it always looks the same and you can
uh-huh.
identify the same individuals from one session to another. And of course, if it were spheres that we're taking, that could not be the case.
Yeah.
Whereas if you realize you're looking down into the mouth of a cone,
uh-huh.
as it would be, and the cone is rotating this way.
Uh-huh.
So that material that they have, they can manipulate into the form of faces or figures,
mm-hmm.
and I've never seen what you've just told me about,
yeah.
but I'm sure it must be related to that in some way.
I'm wondering if there's a possibility that some of them are actually that they've opened up a doorway into a whole other world or something.
Yeah.
And you're seeing a preview into,
yeah.
like the mini world series, or, you know, worlds existing right alongside our worlds in different frequencies or something of that nature.
Yeah, probably that is the case, because in the images that you showed in my movie there
mm-hmm.
just now, mm-hmm. obviously those huge vortexes. The ones that I pictured there were about maybe 30, 40 feet long, about 15 feet high.
Yeah.
But they are wormholes that transition between dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, if that wormhole is able to open up through an orb, it's very possible that could tap you in to the dimension or space, wherever the being that's doing it belongs to. But I don't know if I've even seen that particular thing before.
Yeah, it looked like a Gilbert Williams painting or something. Or it just looked like a different world and very beautiful world when I saw it. It was very green. You could see trees and things and columns. But I'll definitely have to pull that up. A form of a man standing there, and he looks like some kind of a nature spirit or something. I don't know what, but something you see in the movies, you know. We exist in this multi-dimensional universe, and there's worlds right alongside of us that are going on and doing their thing, and they're much different than we, and definitely that we are. I think I'm going to open it up to anybody else. Maybe we can get a few more words from William here.
Well, I mean, I just love listening to Mario talk about the wormhole possibility here, because one of the things I presented today was some research about a black hole, Cygnus X-3, that is beaming directly at us, a beam of particles. And there are scientists that think, well, maybe it's possible that that beam is intelligently directed. Mm-hmm. And what they're proposing happens is that this beam comes from this intelligently directed civilization, and it seeks out consciousness in this plane, and when it finds an awakened being, perhaps, it opens up. And it literally can scan our consciousness, and almost it enters into us and almost interviews us. As it likes what it sees, they're proposing that then what could happen is that beam could then open up into a wormhole through which the visitor could come and go. And that's very close to what you're describing with these orbs, is this possibility.
So we need more and more people to be aware that that's going on and ask for the interview.
And ask for the interview, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they literally do then enter into us, take a look around, see if they like what they see. They could potentially open up into a wormhole through which a visitor could come, but we could also perhaps go as well.
That would probably explain. We have pictures of beings walking around here on the land, and some of them are 7 or 8 feet tall, and they're just pure golden energy.
Wow.
And blue, smaller little beings that are blue walking behind them. And it would be 3 or 4 blue beings and these big, tall, golden beings and just walking around the property. We've gotten quite a few pictures of that. And one of the other ones we took was a light ladder, and it was all the different spectrum of light coming down in bars and coming right down to the ground. So it's like one of those Stargate movies or whatever.
Wow. You know, yeah, it's just cool.
Really bizarre.
Yeah.
I mean, we're seeing things out here. We don't know what we're seeing half the time, but it's fun.
Yeah, and that's part of the hope that's here, because traditional science, mainstream science, says that a wormhole traveling civilization would be millions of years in advance of us, and that it's not even remotely a possibility for us to achieve that level of consciousness. But I tend to disagree. I think that because we can interact with the orbs, because we can apprehend the symbolism and understand that we must be much closer to achieving that level of capability ourselves than science allows for us. And that, there's a tremendous amount of hope in that.
Yeah.
That's where this huge shift can come about, if we can get a hold of just some of these concepts and this technology and flip it into a new cultural paradigm. It opens everything up for us.
So maybe we're not exactly a type zero civilization. Maybe we're a
0.75. We could be,
Better than 0.084. We're just legally intoxicated.
And we are in such an accelerated time that these possibilities are open to everyone.
Right.
That's the most exciting thing about it right now. We're right on the precipice. Anyone can have this kind of experience. So, come on down.
Also, to encourage people, and with that in mind, that anyone can have this experience, and so empower yourself and pick up your digital camera and go have it, and then tell your friends, because people really need to see this phenomenon with love and not fear.
Absolutely.
Yes. And so you're hearing this now on James's show. So tell your friends and go out with your friends make it into a party. Make it into something fun and explore this wonderful phenomenon together.
Thank you.
You can call in ships anywhere. I mean, there's a lot of ships here. But once we started noticing them here and we started going other places and looking at the sky, we realized that you can call in ships wherever you are. If you can't come here to the ranch, go out with your friends, photograph orbs, call in ships, see what happens. Who does this seriously? The people that do it seriously get results, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
How did the music work for you last night when you went out and were playing the saxophone?
I have a huge audio. Oh, yeah, there's a lot of orbs come around, and like the orb Pied Piper or something. But really, I always feel like, I mean, there was a lot of people in the field last night, but even if there's almost nobody here, I always feel like it's a big audience.
Yeah.
You know, and some of it could be, I felt like the first time I was here, I really felt like it was an amphitheater. Perhaps one of those vortexes was going this way, and it really was going someplace else, because I felt that there were a lot of people watching. And after I left that time, I had a dream where I was living on some other civilization, and we went
with some friends to an entertainment. It was like an IMAX theater or whatever. We all got in our seats, and it's a 360 view, and I went, and I realized, oh, my gosh, we're in an orb. Oh, and we're jumping around, viewing something.
We're
the orb, yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Yeah, it's just amazing what's opening up here, and it is important. I know quite a few people, especially after the Palm Springs conference that we did, they went home and they started grabbing their cameras and they started meditating and doing the intention experiments and things like that. And once they were introduced that this is a possibility, it manifested. It started happening. And I know when we did the intention experiment on Coast to Coast, they were just overloaded. They said all of their emails, all of their phones, everything just got slammed so hard for weeks afterwards with people that saw ships, that the ships did interact with them, and they just filled their hearts with love and joy and bliss and sent it out there and invited them to come in and said, help us. And it happened, you know, around the world. I mean, coast to coast and then some. So when you have 15 million listeners doing things like that, you get results, and hopefully we can get as many people as possible to start focusing on turning this planet around. Yeah, we either get busy and get on it, or she's going to do what she needs to do, and we might be getting off it, you know. And then we'll all be orbs, and we'll come to the ranch and film ourselves.
The more that we surrender to the love that we are, there's less catastrophic events.
It definitely, yeah. I see it, you know, a lot of people go, well, you're talking negative and this and that. And you know, I tell them, oh, there definitely are going to be some earth changes because things do need to get cleaned up. And people have chosen that experience. That's the way they've chosen to learn their experience. And, you know, we can always do things gracefully or we can do them the hard way. And a lot of people have chosen the hard way. That's just what they've chosen. But it's good to realize we're all eternal souls and kind of bless the ones that chose the hard way. And
it's also good to realize that you can make another choice.
Exactly. Yeah.
You can choose ease, grace, and joy. You can choose benevolence. You can choose excitement right now and create that for yourself, too. We're in an accelerated creative time on this planet. And what we choose is what we create for ourselves. And each of us has that capacity to create whatever we want right now.
Raptor said to us the other night, don't blame me for the days that are coming. I didn't create them. Furthermore, I didn't choose to be incarnated at this time. You did.
Yeah, I love what he also said once. He said, you know, gods don't do boring things. So we're definitely not in boring times right now. We're challenging ourselves to the max.
That's in a seatbelt, right?
Yeah, we're on the master's ride.
That's right.
So and they've just shifted into fifth gear, so we might as well enjoy the ride and go with the flow, or try not to crash into any major obstacles on the way.
One of the things I've enjoyed most about being at this conference is having my mind expanded by learning from other teachers,
mm-hmm.
and other speakers who have addressed similar issues, but from a different perspectives.
Oh, definitely.
It's,
yeah,
it's really been a wonderful mind opener. A lot of talk about spiritual advancement, but for myself in the newsletter, I'm dealing, I think, with people from about 50 countries,
mm-hmm.
and everybody's coming at this from a different place. And for some people, this is the first they've heard of earth changes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an eternal spirit, but I'm in a body. And I rather stress the point that it's important to look after the body rather than wait for a savior to take me out of it. Put me on a spaceship.
Definitely.
And, you know, science is telling us that at the moment, for example, the polar ice cap is melting and the ice may well all be gone this summer.
Yeah.
6 months ago, they were saying it might take till the year 2070.
Oh, yeah.
They were saying it might take till the year 2040.
Wow.
This month, they're saying it will all be gone this year. That means the earth changes are accelerating.
Oh, definitely.
I suggest you ought to put to the metal and prepare for these things.
That's
body, mind, and spirit.
Yeah.
And those who are not really advanced in the spiritual walk I honestly suggest you should be thinking about storing food, mm-hmm. storing water, doing the sort of things our grandparents did just to get through the winter. Very sensible, practical things.
Mm-hmm. What do you say about the people that say, you know, there's some people that will come in and just say, well, I know some wonderful people that are living on the coast, you know, and knowing these tsunamis are coming. They're beautiful people. Why would God punish them and everything? And I know what I always say. I think they are beautiful people. They're just terrible listeners. And a lot of us are in that, you know, living on that, going down that river denial and not seeing the obvious.
You can relate that story to the person on the house that says, well, I'm waiting on the helicopter calling out to God. I'm waiting on the plane. I'm waiting on the boat, you know.
Yeah.
So you're saying if they really like beachfront property, they should move to Colorado.
Yeah, Arizona.
That should be just right.
I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to going down to Bottom Hill and swimming with the dolphins. That works. That's the future I'm creating, you know. So,
Michael, what do you think? Say that the northern polarized cap is gone this year. What would that do for the weight balance of the Earth?
The potential there is, and we're not just talking about the North Polar ice cap, ice is also melting in Antarctica. If you imagine a weight on the wheel of your car, you've got to have that weight on your car to keep it in balance. When the ice melts in the polar regions, the sea ice is not going to raise sea levels, but if Greenland goes as well, that will raise sea levels. It'll put the whole planet out of balance. And it means that there could be a sudden, like a basketball, you know, shifting to the left, so to speak. And that's going to create tsunamis, which people have had visions of hitting the west coast of America. It's going to create earthquakes worse than anything we've seen in China. It's just going to be some terrible events. Now, I hope that I'm being honest in this, that all futures are possibilities. But we should prepare for them. Pray to Allah, but tether your camel. Mm-hmm. So preparation is important. That's my answer for that one.
Mm-hmm. But potentially, the level of tsunami you could expect is going to be greater than anything we've seen.
Absolutely.
So far.
In the documentary, we were able to get an animation of the Banda Aceh tsunami that happened in Asia on that several years ago. That took out 250,000 people in a matter of seconds. A tsunami travels at least 500 miles an hour across the ocean. When it hits the shore, it because of the pressure behind it, it lifts up, becomes a mountain of water. The one we saw at Banda Aceh, when it hit the coast in Thailand, for example, might have only been 30 or 40 feet high. Under the scenario that we're looking at for the future, the potential there is for it to be hundreds of feet high. Now, what does that say for people living on the coasts anywhere in the world?
Except
the odds of this happening go up all the time. Right now, ocean liners report what's called an errant wave. These are deep ocean waves traveling at several hundred miles an hour. Now, they're in deep water, so they don't crest very high, but 90 to 100 feet high. These waves go underneath these ocean liners. These ocean liners are 800 or 900 feet long and almost swamps them. There's one report a month now in the open ocean of these errant waves. All it takes is for one of those to get lined up with a shoreline, and you've got a supersonic wave 300 to 400 meters high.
Yeah. And that's one of the things that I believe. Talking about the oceans themselves, the melting of the ice caps, the melting of Greenland, has the potential also, and this was mentioned in the documentary, we illustrated it in the documentary, has the potential to stall what's known as the Atlantic Current, also known as the Gulf Stream. That's what comes up from the equator, comes up as warm water through the Atlantic up towards Europe, North Atlantic, and creates the climate for Europe. Well, when that stalls, the climate in Europe could become like Siberia in winter in a matter of a couple of weeks.
So, keep going.
So, we need a hot air balloon and a longboard.
One of our listeners brought up a very good point and said, Einstein once said, you cannot prepare for war and peace at the same time. What do we need to prepare for in these end times?
Right. Well, we need to prepare for, if we're just watching the regular mainstream news, let's give them some credit for reporting the fact that the world is in terrible straits when it comes to food production. The climate is changing all over the planet. Crops are failing. Crops have been destroyed by storms recently. Millions of people are just getting into starvation mode in the next 12 to 18 months.
So is it time to pound our swords into plowshares?
That's not a bad idea. But I think it's time to think seriously about quitting going out to the movies. Spend your money on buying something to put in storage.
Except for our movies. They should go out and...
Okay, so I guess we need a hot air balloon, a longboard, and a big bag of rice and beans.
Right.
And we're good.
Tickets.
Yeah.
And some community.
Exactly. And we're good to go. But, yeah, it's pretty undeniable. I mean, it's definitely, we are seeing the shift and the changes. Like I was talking about earlier, there's a lot of people say it's all an illusion, you know, that or I'm going to ascend or whatever, you know, and she's going to rapture me up and things of that nature. The ships are going to pick me up, you know. And I go, well, where are they going to put you? I said, look what you did to this planet. You think they're going to drop you off somewhere else, some other advanced culture and torture them, you know, and their environment, you know. What a babysitting job to lay that trip on Jesus. It's just phenomenal, some of the thought. And the illusion part, when people go, oh, it's all an illusion, it doesn't matter anyway. Well, you know, it is. This is the third density of the source, whatever you want to call it. It's where God lowered himself all the way down into the physical. And what you do here in the physical weighs either light or heavy on the soul. So we do have to honor this physical reality and that it is an experience down here and be kind to each other and be kind to the environment and the earth. And if it is all an illusion, there's a good way to test that theory. And we got some wonderful trees around here. We can just get in front of one and run right at it and see what happens.
We know it is also our reality, and we create our reality. And our focus creates our reality. And our dimensional structures are created by our thoughts.
Absolutely.
And our weather is our emotions and math. And all of these things we're talking about are accelerated by our focus. And we can choose an option that is less disruptive. We can decide that together, too. And I think that's really important to take the power back here and say that I am a part of this creation. I choose to create these earth changes to be as benevolent as possible, as with as little damage to life and to people as possible. And so we have that opportunity to create that together, too. And, you know, the fact that you give out this information for people to be prepared is important, because then people, when you're prepared, you're not scared. You know,
exactly.
So you're not creating out of fear.
Yeah.
And
that's
important.
That's
yeah.
A good one.
and it's important that we acknowledge our power here.
Absolutely.
And that we don't accelerate the disruption by focusing on it bigger and bigger and bigger. And so what I choose in this is that benevolence happens in these earth changes in whatever way is necessary, in the most appropriate, in the highest consciousness for all, and so that no one needs to be in suffering in any way. That's what I would choose. So, you know, I ask that of anyone who would like to focus on that, to give that, their energy to that kind of help.
And William Henry mentioned in his talk that thought is even faster than the speed of light. So really all that exists is this eternal moment right now. And it's how we feel and how we think in this moment that launches those rockets of desire for what we witness and experience tomorrow. And we do have the choice.
And we create this from now.
Choose grace.
We create this together.
I heard a wonderful saying that one on the side of God is the majority, you know. So, and we can affect quite a few people with our consciousness. One person can affect thousands and thousands. And the trick is we've got, 7 billion people now that are all going in different directions.
And
creating different realities. Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. The more we can start turning this around
unify.
Yeah, and just basically start being kind to each other and being kind to the planet and start working together in the highest and best good of humanity and Earth. My feeling is I'm praying for the best, but I'm also preparing at the same time. And I also feel I just think that there's going to be whatever people need to experience, they're going to experience. And who am I to say what somebody needs for completion in their soul? I don't know. You know, some people might need to have some of these experiences. You know, it's their wake-up call.
Well, some of it's the cleansing of the Earth itself.
And the Earth definitely needs to heal. She needs to move on.
There's toxins and pollution
everywhere.
That's why the ocean is raising. The salt water is the cleansing and the purification in itself.
Oh, definitely.
And that was one of the things I wrote about in one of the newsletters. There's an area in the Pacific called the Pacific Gyre where there's trash just gathered in the doldrums in an area about the size of Texas.
Uh-huh.
It's plastic bottles, garbage, toxins, the sort of stuff that we throw away. Mm-hmm. We have treated this planet worse than we'd treat a rat in a garbage dump. Yeah. We've turned this into something worse than a landfill. And this off the Pacific coast here, the seawater is becoming acidic, mm-hmm. killing off the shellfish, the beginnings of the food chain in the ocean.
Yeah.
Now, one of the themes during this conference has been spiritual preparedness. You know, it's the mm-hmm. Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. And I'd, right this minute, like to recommend that people do what they can to get hold of any of the DVDs that are available, the books that are available from the other speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Because put together as a collective is a beautiful, tremendous amount of wonderful information. Mm-hmm. I don't think an individual should be waiting on FEMA, Homeland Security, the local government.
I agree.
Don't wait for anybody else to come and help you. If you're not prepared to help yourself, why would you expect anybody else to come along and do it for you?
I heard it real simple. If you don't wake up in the illusion, what are you going to do in reality?
Exactly. Well, we're getting close to the end of the hour, so we've got maybe one or two more minutes. Anybody want to say one last words of wisdom? Or
I just want to ask, what else can we do besides being prepared, you know, focusing on the better scenario?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can we do?
The most important
right now, today, the solution.
Yeah.
Right now, today, the solution is to become self-responsible, but to start to visualize yourself beyond the worst of the Earth changes. Visualize yourself as the best you ever wanted to be, beyond all this turmoil. That sends a signal out to the quantum field, to the God within, to the universe, and it gives you and it creates for you a point of focus in the future, which will carry your body to it.
Absolutely.
So if you're prepared in that way, there's really nothing to be scared of.
Definitely manifest your own destiny.
And then you have to follow those promptings.
Exactly.
Act
on it.
Being in the moment, being present.
Yeah.
Use excitement in your life.
It's going to be exciting. Definitely.
It is exciting.
Creative.
Yeah. One of the UFOs is showing up. It's so show down here.
So you live in interesting times.
Exactly. These definitely are interesting times. Looks like we're running up here to the end of the hour, so I guess it's about time to sign off. I want to thank our wonderful guest speakers here. Got Michal here.
My name is Michael Knight.
William Henry.
Coraline Isaac.
Brooks Agnew.
Paul Cat.
Randy Mead.
There's Hope Mead.
Nourish Your Soul TV.
Anybody else want to say anything to ask me? Good night, everybody. Good night, everybody, and have a wonderful evening. James Cone signing off with As You Wish Talk Radio. And spend some time out. taking some pictures, watching the sky. There's a lot happening, and it's not just happening here. It's happening everywhere. So have a good evening. Good night.
Good night.